Welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Folks, we are going to be talking about prayer today, and not prayer in the sense of that you got to go to church and, you know, be on your knees or jump around, whatever, and pray that way, but how prayer, the positive word, your thoughts, can affect you in a very positive way. We're going to be speaking with Sam Beasley, who co-authored Your Life is Your Prayer, Wake Up to the Spiritual Power in Everything You Do with BJ Gallagher. So sit back, relax. You're going to get some great information, especially in this time as we're going through this virus thing. Okay, it's really going to be important that you pay attention to what your prayers are. And we're going to delve deeper into that in a moment. Excuse me. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask the question, are you really ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting-edge information that enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I also authored 2 books. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. I invite you to find more out about me and my services by going to my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com. And I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. My guest today, Sam Beasley, is a successful businessman, entrepreneur who uses spiritual principles to establish and build and run his business. He is a charismatic speaker and dynamic workshop leader whose mission is to share what he has learned so that others may become successful and fulfilled as well. Sam's first book was with Suzanne Lorenz, and that was Wealth and Well-Being. And you can check him out at his website, and that is yourlifeisyourprayer.com. All one word, yourlifeisyourprayer.com. And again, he has written this book with BJ Gallagher. Welcome, Sam.
Welcome, Monique. Glad to be here.
I am so glad you're here. I absolutely love the book, Your Life is Your Prayer. When I first reviewed your book, I review books by opening a random page and finishing the chapter. And the book, the page that I opened it to was something to the effect of worry is a negative prayer. And I really want to start out with that because I think people don't understand sometimes how their negative thoughts, the worry, the fear truly affects them. So could you speak to us about that?
Sure. I always try to take the point of view in my own life of assuming that I am influencing the outcome. And I've had quite a bit of experience with that because I've started a lot of businesses. And so I've really had the experience of seeing how when I focus my thoughts in a certain area, that's what I get. Well, it turns out that for most of us, if not all of us, worry is focus. And if we focus our life towards worry or with worry, we tend to end up with a stressful life. And so I kind of think of it this way. If I sat down on a beach on a nice sunny day and looked at the waves coming in, worry will wash away. And it'll just be that really glorious, relaxing, sunny beach experience. If I sat down on the beach, closed my eyes, and worried about making the mortgage payment, it would almost be as if I wasn't even at the ocean. I would be in the crisis of mortgage payment, and I would be able to actually erase the ocean experience with the worry about the mortgage. So when in that part of the book where it says, if you worry, that's what you get. That's what I mean. That's what Vijay and I mean by that is, you know, worry is a very powerful thing. And I don't know, and I know Vijay doesn't know any way at all to worry and not have it influence the outcome of our, or the experience of our life. It does experience, it does influence it, yeah. And so it's just one of those things. It's a choice we get to make. And now I'm saying that after having practiced for years on letting go of worry. So in the beginning, it did not feel like a choice. Okay. You know, until I got some skill for letting it go, it did not feel like a choice. And the truth is, in those moments, it probably wasn't a choice. You know, the only choice I could make in those moments was, how do I stop this? So if I was back in the worried world again, I would hope that I'd notice it and say, I need to practice how to get out of this.
Okay.
And start practicing.
Okay. And Sam, I wanted to start with that, the worry part, and then delve into what is prayer, because a lot of people don't realize that when you constantly focus on something, whether it's positive or negative, that is a form of prayer, that you're attracting that energy to you. What you send out, especially on the subconscious, it comes back to you. So let's backtrack a little bit, and how do you define prayer?
Well, I really thought about this and kind of did as much observing as I can, and some common characteristics that I noticed is that it is always focused. It's almost always repetitive. It becomes a chant in our mind. And like we very seldom say, I don't have enough money, and then never say that again. We don't do that. We repeat it over and over and over again. There's not enough. There's not enough. There's not enough. There's not enough. So very focused, almost always repetitive and chant-like. And it's either conscious or unconscious. And most of the time, I would say for most people, it's unconscious. So just this unconscious chanting that goes on in our minds. And we're hardly aware of it at all. You know, and if we became aware of it, it sounds like the truth. It's not enough. And you know, we don't worry. Like, I'm going to say a full thought. There's not enough, so I'm going to get engaged in changing that. We don't worry that way. We worry there's not enough, period. So we don't, you know, worry doesn't include solution. So prayer, in my experience, prayer is focused, repetitive thought, almost always unconscious, but the option is always there to bring consciousness to it.
Okay.
And to choose which thoughts we're focusing on and which thoughts we're repeating.
Okay. So then prayer basically is a choice of what we decide to focus on?
Yeah, and repeat.
Okay.
And repeat. And I do think that's essential, that that we choose to introduce the thought and then reintroduce it and reintroduce it. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons why I think it's essential is that our minds are on duty 24/7. They're on duty. And if we're not repeating the ones we choose, the mind just starts filling it in with other stuff. And you know, it just falls back on what it knows. And for a lot of us, what it knows is not what we would choose.
Right. You know,
what the mind knows is a long history of fears, a long history of concerns. I grew up with a kind of a Boy Scout mentality of be prepared, and only I tacked on the words "for the worst," you know, be prepared for the worst. so my mind, when it slips into unconsciousness, my mind is pre-identifying catastrophes and figuring out how to solve them. And but it's focused on catastrophe, and it feels like I'm on duty. You know, it feels like, yeah, that's what I should be doing. You know, and when I get conscious, I ask myself, have you ever had any of those catastrophes? And the answer is like, nope, never had any. You know, and you know the old joke about, you know, the guy's banging a pot, and his friend says, why are you banging the pot? And says, keep the elephants away. And he says, I don't see any elephants. He said, well, it works.
So I
think a lot of times worry is pot banging to keep the elephants away, but there aren't any, you know. And so slipping in or slipping out of unconsciousness and intentionally placing ourselves in consciousness is really saying, wait a minute, there aren't any elephants. I don't need to bang the pot anymore. What would I like to do with this time instead? And then, you know, choosing. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you talk about in the book, you write that there are many types of prayers. Could you share a few of them with us?
Sure. Historically, dance is a form of prayer, chanting, music, singing, drumming. Lots of times there's physical motion associated with prayer, rocking, or if we think of prayer in the Middle East, it's kneeling and repetitive bowing. And, and you know, in more Western religion, the folded, the clasped hands, or folded hands and bowed head. You know, so lots of times there's a very physical component to it. We pray for objects, you know, prosperity. We pray for safety from what we fear. We pray for our own well-being and the well-being of others. And, you know, that one's really quite trained in us. And I notice now in this time of the coronavirus, I hear about people who are families and people who are struggling with the actual infection itself. And my mind immediately turns to prayer for them. You know, I'm thrown or maybe trained or guided to send them my best thoughts that I can send them. And so that's a really common one to pray for others in what we view as their moments of need, and to pray for ourselves in what we view as our moments of need, or for our future moments of need. So in other words, like today, I don't really have any problems today, but if I did, I might be having a prayer that said, save me today. But I'd be way more likely to have a prayer that says, save me tomorrow, you know, for what's coming. You know, it's not here now, but it's bound to be coming. whatever it is. Monique, as you start to drive north on Highway 1 in California and then north from there, you come to these areas where it says tsunami warning zone. And these signs that say, basically it says, turn east if a tsunami is coming. And so they're like, there's no tsunami right now, you know, but there could be. You know, so I would often find myself praying for future tsunamis. You know, protect me from future tsunamis, whatever they are. You know, and and I do think that we often have prayers for a future that we wish for, and we pray it with an unspoken underlying tag on the end that says that I'm probably never going to get. You know, I would really like to win the lottery that I'm probably never going to win. You know,
but don't you take it away at that point? When you say I'm never going to win, aren't you negating the prayer that you put out?
You're certainly taking away the peace that might have come with the first half of the prayer. You know, in other words, if the prayer was, wouldn't that be delightful to win the lottery? Wouldn't it be delightful to be freed of financial worry? You know, wouldn't that be incredible peace to say, okay, all of my financial issues are handled now, and now I can move on to some other thoughts. So we certainly take away that peace that would come with the first half by saying the second half, you know, that I'm never going to get. And, are we powerful enough to cause ourselves to win or not win the lotto? I don't really know. But are we powerful enough to experience joy or deprivation from our thoughts with that? Yes, absolutely. We're that powerful, you know. So if you and I took a moment and I said, oh, Monique, what would you do if you won the lottery? And then you started telling me all the ways that you'd alleviate your fears and help other people. And then I said, well, too bad that's never going to happen. You know, are we powerful enough to first bring the joy of the imagining? Yes. And are we powerful enough to erase it? Yes, we are.
So in that case, say the prayer is to win the lotto or the lottery, is it better just not to share it with someone? Because once you vocalize it and you put it out there, you open the door for naysayers?
Is it better? Well, you would certainly then identify the naysayers in your life. I love human beings, and I'm an extrovert, and I love being with people. And I do have the opportunity to be in groups of people who have faith. And I'm never hesitant to share my dreams with them. Because I know that they believe in the possibility of dream as much as I do. And they believe in the power of asking for the best as much as I do. So in that case, I not only am not afraid of sharing, I find it to be more powerful to share.
But that's you, and you're immersed in this work, and it's wonderful work. But what about the person who is kind of new to this, and they're hanging out with people who are naysayers? I mean, because that's just their natural disposition. Is it really safe, I guess, in a sense, for them to put their dream out there? You know, I was working with a couple not too long ago, and the wife was talking about a business that she wanted to start, and immediately her husband jumped in and said, you will never be successful. And, you know, and we had a discussion around that. But, I mean, that's a person that she'd been married to for, I think, like 13, 14 years, and shared her life. And she put out a desire, a wish, you know, looking at her future, and he just immediately shut it down.
Yeah. Well, one thing I can say about that, Monique, is that she identified somebody to that if she shares things like that, she's going to have to have some real internal strength to be able to hold the vision and hear that lack of support. So how would we find people who do support us? I think, you know, maybe in areas where people practice faith, we might be able to just, you know, find the communities that practice faith and say the odds of being supported here are greater. And but beyond that, I think we have to take a risk and speak up and find out, are we in a community of support or not?
And maybe it's
risky. It's emotionally risky.
And maybe that was a deeper lesson for her to take a look at, too, about the people that she's so intimate with that are not supporting her. It was an opportunity.
It was an opportunity. So imagine if all prayers have a second half of them where we would say to whatever divine force that we're addressing, guide me to a life of joy. The second half might be, so please reveal what's in the way. You know, because imagine if all the obstacles in the way were invisible and we just keep smashing against them, but we can't see them. We just keep smashing against them. It would be way, way more useful if they would reveal themselves so we could step around them. So if somebody, well, I won't say somebody, if I have a vision and I ask to be guided to it, I'm really aware that I'm asking to have the obstacles appear. So I can step around them.
Okay, great. Folks, we're speaking with Sam Beasley. He's the co-author of Your Life is Your Prayer, Wake Up to the Spiritual Power in Everything That You Do with B.J. Gallagher. And you can check him out at his website, and that is yourlifeisyourprayer.com. Again, yourlifeisyourprayer.com. Sam, in your book, you encourage readers to change their prayers in order to change their life. How can we change our prayers? Give us an example.
First, become aware of them. And it almost like we have to invite ourselves to hear our prayers. And I mean that in that, you know, that when I said that we're unconsciously chanting our prayers, we have to invite ourselves to hear them. And might literally have to say, today I'm willing to hear what I'm praying. And write them down. Go ahead and get them down on paper and say, so this is what I'm praying. What would I prefer to pray? And then try to see if we could write, like if everything in the, let's just imagine we have a piece of paper and we divide it into two columns, and what we've been praying, we write on the left. And then on the right-hand side, say, so if I am praying that the prayer, this is never going to work, what might I pray instead? And then we might write down, well, it worked for Monique. Why couldn't it work for me? Or we might write down, I've seen it work for other people. Or we might write down, the divine force is powerful. Just find an alternative prayer that we could begin to introduce into our life. Now, to make the change, something has to bring us to consciousness about what we've been praying. Okay. Probably one of the last or most recent areas of my life is that as I've gotten older, I've really come to love eating more, and so I weigh a little more than I used to. I'm not in danger or anything like that, but I weigh a little more than I used to. And I would like to have that weight lifted from me. And but probably the very first thought that my mind goes to is, it doesn't matter what I say, I just keep eating. That's the very first thought my mind goes to. And so if I become aware that that's a thought that I'm holding and chanting, I have the chance of asking myself, is there anything else I could think that might be more supportive of that? And right away, I can think, you know, I have found it easiest to change in life when I do it with other people. So right away, I can introduce that thought that, oh, I don't need to take this on alone. I can get some support. And that has worked for me often. Just find support. And but as long as I'm just unconsciously chanting, oh, what difference does it make what I say? I just keep eating. You know, if that's what I'm chanting, pretty good chance that's what I'm getting. So the consciousness part seems quite important. Now, I can tell you a little technique. If you have close friends, and if you can't figure out what you're praying, and you have some close friends, you could go to them and say, what do you hear me saying over and over? And they'll tell you what they hear you saying over and over again. And take a breath, listen to them, don't defend yourself, write it down, and say thank you. Thank you. Now you know what you got to work with.
Okay. Well, that dovetails right into what I was going to ask you next, and you mentioned it earlier. In this day and age, especially with this virus that's running around, people are worried about, you know, mortgage payments, rent payments, you know, needing a new car but can't figure out how to get it. So how can we pray to bring in some of the things that we truly need? Not a want, you know, not like I want this designer, you know, handbag or shoes or whatever, but, you know, I need X amount to pay the mortgage, the rent, whatever.
Yeah. I think the designer handbag and shoes is okay. You got to start somewhere. And, you know, it is a skill we're talking about. Or a set of skills. And, you know, they would never ask a medical student to start with brain surgery. So we can start small. And just say, you know, in my life, I haven't experienced the inflow of prosperity, for example. And I really like that now. I'd really like to begin to have that experience now. I'm gonna answer the mortgage level of question. I'll be 70 in a few months. And if I go back, thank you. Yeah,
you don't look it from your picture, but okay. Yeah, I'll believe you.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that I get to be 70. So I'm really glad about that. So if I look back through my life and I ask myself, this is an exercise I have, and I do this one regularly, and I take a piece of paper and I put it into three columns. And on the left, I say, what's the worst that ever happened to me? And I just go ahead and list them. And then in the middle, I write, how did I think it was going to turn out? And then in the right-hand column, I write down how it actually turned out. And what I get from that is I can tell you the 97 absolutely life-ending things that I thought were going to happen to me, and not one of them did. Not one of them came out as horribly as I ever pictured. All was not lost, though it seemed as though it would be. And I'm not a bag lady, you know. That never happened. And in spite of my own actions, that never happened. And so one of the things I would say is we could start by acknowledging that the worst that our mind could imagine didn't actually happen. And it did not end our life, because here we are.
Right.
And so we could start there and say to whatever divine source to whom we pray, say, I know you've never let it happen before, and I know you won't let it happen this time. And just start there. Relieve ourselves of the fear by noticing that we're safe. And we've always been safe. And it has always looked as if we weren't safe. But we always were. Because here we are. And so we could start there. And so we might start that way of saying, oh, that's right. You've got this. You've got this. Not me, because we, you know, we don't trust ourselves that much. You've got this, and then say, I'm a little tired of living so close to the edge. Could you help with that? I'm a little tired of never quite having the life I wanted. Could you help? I'm a little tired of living in fear. Could you help with that? And, you know, as a genuine request of of saying, you, it might even come out this way of saying, I have really had the experience of taking life on in the hardest possible ways. I'd like to move on from that now. Could I begin to have it be easier? No. There was a point in my life, Monique, where I realized that all the money I had ever earned, I had never used it to give myself what I wanted. And it's an interesting thing to realize, you know, that I happened to have been 45 at the time, and to realize that I had been working for money for, at least 30 years at that point, and say, but I had nothing I wanted. And just had to ask in a new way, could you help me have money be for me now? And man, was that a breakthrough. just that willingness to say, I'm clearly not doing a good job with this. Could you help? You know, could you guide me towards allowing myself to have a life that I would like to have instead of the one that I've always had? And, you know, I happen to know the date that that happened, that I prayed that prayer. And it's been nothing but uphill ever since, or downhill, which it's been nothing but easy ever since.
There you go.
Yeah, nothing but easy.
Ease and grace.
Ease and grace, you know. And you know, it just took a moment of consciousness to say, I keep getting, or I no longer want what I keep getting. And could you guide me to something else?
Okay. It seems relatively easy, but let me Okay, the question kind of came and went at the same time. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Does it matter who we pray to? I mean, there's so many different belief systems out there. Does it really matter who we're praying to, or are we just putting it out there and whatever energy is attracted to it comes to save us?
I think it matters that we know we're praying to not us, because I don't think we have much faith in ourselves in general. So, not us. Now, do I actually know what you know? There was martyr Saint John of the Cross, San Juan de la Cruz. He came to a moment where he said, any God he could know wasn't worth praying to. So to an unknown. And sometimes I wonder, when I focus my thought and send it out, does it make a U-turn and come back to another part of me that I'm not conscious of? I don't know the answer. So I in my experience, something powerful, something that I don't need to be afraid of, something that has my back, something that's willing to say yes. And the good news is willing to say yes to my requests for kindness, and willing to say yes to my request for hard. And so if I'm saying, this is really hard, this is really hard, this is really hard, in my experience, that divine force will shrug his shoulders and say, okay, I was hoping for something better for you, but okay. You know? And so does it matter? I came to faith through atheism, so I started with nothing. And a friend of mine, I mentioned it to a friend of mine, and he said, oh, that's okay, just pretend you have faith. And I trusted him, so I began to speak to something I didn't know. And one day I heard myself unconsciously speaking to that which I didn't know. And I realized, oh my gosh, I have faith now. And faith had come upon me. And I can't tell you that I have any way of knowing what that which I don't know is. Honestly, I don't care, Monique. I've never felt the need to be able to define God. I just know that when I send out those focused prayers, it has an influence. And okay, I like the influence that it has.
Okay, so if you don't believe in God, you can pray to Source, the Divine, the Universe, whatever it is that you believe in, Allah, whatever it is you believe in, right?
Yeah, I think BJ and I came up with 32 names that we use. My favorite is River of Peace. I don't know why that's my favorite. I just love that one, River of Peace. And I quite often use that one. There are things about it, the picture of a wide, flowing, peaceful river. There's something about that that brings stillness and joy to my heart, and I really love that one. And, but we came up with 32 names, I think. Everything from God to, Almighty, All That Is, Universal Source, Divine Source. So we very intentionally set out to and asked ourselves, really, what names do we use? And wrote them down and just made a decision as we began the book to embrace them all.
Okay, so
and we did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, I think you did right by reading the book. So you're not falling into any particular dogma of, you know, this is better or whatever. It's just whatever your belief system is to move forward with that and say the words, pray the words. Now, is it important, Sam, to speak the words out loud? Can you pray to yourself? Do you need to write them down? There's so many different schools of thought on that. What's yours?
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, I had to write them down, and I'll tell you why. I wasn't able to hold a thought I wanted to think. I just couldn't hold them. I had a lifetime of thinking thoughts I no longer wanted to think. So I actually had to write them down, and I would carry them with me, and I'd pull them out of my pocket and read them. And then as technology advanced, and you know, I got my first smart device, which I think was a Palm Trio. You could have a digital calendar. I began to put them into the calendar as appointments, and then it would ding, and I would look down, and it would say, "Life is better than you imagine," you know, or whatever thought I had put in there as an appointment. And I still do that, and I still regularly put thoughts into my phone as appointments. And I had to write out and carry thoughts for a long time. And the truth is, Monique, I didn't have any in the beginning, so I had to borrow them from other people. And so I was writing down other people's prayers about life because they were better than anything I could come up with. And then, with the passage of time, one day I noticed I had an original thought, and so I wrote it down. And so for me, writing them down has always worked, and that's in part how this book came about. I was writing them down, and then one day, I would write down a thought. I'm just going to open the book. I appreciate my willingness to change. And I would write down a thought, and then one day I asked myself, what is it you mean exactly? So I sat down to kind of make some notes about what I meant, and I noticed I was just really enjoying writing down what I meant when I said those things. And so I began to write the prayers and then these little supportive essays, and I kept getting more and more and more, and I'd share them with people. And BJ's a person who I've known, BJ Gallagher, for a long time, and
she's been on the show before. I enjoyed her. Yeah.
So I would share them, and I shared them with her. I'd share them with my wife, Suzanne Lorenz. She's my first co-author, so one day BJ asked me. She said, "Do you still have all those prayers?" And I said, "Yes." He says, "Well, why don't you give them to me and let's write a book?" And so that's what we did. And so writing them down has always been really useful for me. And it's getting more useful in a different way now. It's my memory is not what it used to be, let's just say this: my memory takes different forms now than it used to.
Okay, I can identify with that.
So I'm finding it useful again to write them down. And I think if I had had a great, if I could have recalled them as well as I could recall the lyrics to songs, I might not have had to write them down. And one of the things I really did do is I began to write them into songs, and that made it easier. It made it easier to recall what I wanted to think if I wrote it into a song that said, "I love this life." You know, if that line was in a song. And I did. I ended up writing a song with Laura Joplin called "I Love This Life," and it was way easier to remember that phrase when it was a song I could sing. So could you write them into a kind of a melodic chant? One of my absolute favorites, I keep this in my phone, is "Oh Happy Day." You know, I don't ever forget the phrase "Oh Happy Day," because that song is embedded in my heart. "Oh Happy Day," So that way, you know, in song, it's easy to remember for me. Writing it down, it's easy to remember. I think what really matters is what form can you put it in that you can very intentionally bring it back to consciousness.
Okay. Very well said.
Yeah. I know lots of people put their prayers on their mirrors. So when they look in the mirror, they're staring at their prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That really helps. BJ has a thing. She does. She puts them on coffee mugs. She makes coffee mugs and puts her supportive thoughts on coffee mugs. And because she picks up those mugs every day,
mm-hmm.
and that's a pretty good technique.
What I found that works for me is I will record it into my phone, and when I'm going to bed at night, you know, when I finally settle in, I'll just play it, and as I drift off, those wonderful thoughts, for me anyway, are going into my psyche, my subconscious, and it's amazing what you can create once you practice, you know, a form of prayer. So, Sam, give us, our time is almost up, give us a pearl of wisdom for the audience regarding prayer.
A pearl of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge demand. It is available to us, and we're already skilled at it, and we've been doing it our whole lives, most mm-hmm. of the time without realizing it, and we live in the results of it. So prayer is not hard for us. You know, we're kind of masters of it. What's available is to bring some consciousness to it. And I'll try to give you the simplest example I can think of. If I got in my car and my car is messy, you can believe that every time I get in my car, I notice my car is messy. And what's available to me is to say, I really love getting into a nice clean car,
mm-hmm.
instead of, oh my God, what a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, consciousness is available to us. And in my experience, I often have to start with, what is it? What's the outcome I'm getting that I don't like?
Mm-hmm.
And can I introduce a new thought, chant, prayer that might change that? It's very available to us.
Okay. Well, Sam, thank you very much. And to the audience, thank you for being with me as we get over it and collectively explored the concept and power of prayer today. I truly appreciate your time and attention. You know, folks, in this time of, you know, the virus and everything else that's going on, it's really important, as Sam said, to be conscious of your thoughts, be conscious of your prayers. And when you find something that doesn't resonate, kind of release it and just move forward, okay? Because you'll notice that you'll weather this particular storm that we're going through as a world a little bit, you know, more with ease and grace, and that always is a plus. So thank you for listening, and remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of adding prayer into your life. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Agape.